change. It's an unavoidable reality in our lives. Locations, jobs, relationships, lifestyles. The question has never been whether or not we will experience change. The question will always be, how will we respond? Will we embrace it and ultimately learn from it, or ignore it and let it overwhelm our lives? Change is coming, ready or not.
Hey, I'm just so excited you're here, and it's really good for me to be with you. And I just want you to know, as a church, we have a lot to be thankful for. We have a lot to be grateful for. And one of those things is, as we continue to expand our vision and expand our reach in the valley, this weekend, for the very first time, we get to welcome right now, and I hope you'll get excited about this, our ninth campus, CCV North Phoenix, joining us for the very first time. Let's give them a hand. Yeah. And hey, if you're in North Phoenix right now, we just want to say you have eight campuses cheering you on as we continue to reach this valley for Jesus Christ. We believe God's going to do amazing things in that part of our valley. And if you know anybody, by the way, that lives anywhere near our North Phoenix campus, which is, by the way, is off I-17 and Greenway, that's right where it's at, please invite them to be a part of it. You may even want to go with them. Take them with them a weekend and then go over there with them and show them around. But we just believe that God's going to continue to move as we continue to step out in faith to reach this valley for Jesus Christ. For the last few weeks, I've actually been gone. I've been on a few different trips. I went to San Diego to speak at our high school camp, which, by the way, was just incredible. I mean, what church gets to send over 2,700 students and coaches to go, you know, spend a week, you know, of life change, which is great. And so I have such a passion for seeing the next generation on fire for Jesus. Then I got to travel to Indianapolis after that. I was at a conference called the North American Christian Convention. It's a gathering of thousands of pastors from across the United States and even the world. And I got to invest some of my life in some other pastors and learn. And it was really fun to see what God's doing across not only the nation, but our world. I got to keep up with our Joyride series while I was gone, though. And I thought Mark just did an incredible job during that series. It was really good to see that. Yeah. But today, I'm really excited to kick off a brand new series called Ready or Not. And here's what this series is all about. It's about one word. It's the word change. Now, when you see that word, how many of you love that word? I mean, you're like, I love it when things are changing around me. I mean, just go ahead and raise your hand right now. You're like, I love change. There's very few of us, isn't there? I mean, very few of us love change, which is really interesting to think about because, ready or not, whether you like it or not, whether you embrace it or not, change is coming your way and mine. And one of the things we know about change is that change can bring about opportunity or it can bring danger. It can bring one of those two things. And this series comes at a really opportune time for many of you because I strategically chose this time to kick off the series because I think this time of year is a time where people either are going through a lot of change or they're getting ready to experience it in the next couple months. Let me tease that out a little bit. Some of you just moved to Phoenix or you just moved to a new neighborhood in Phoenix. And here's why you chose this time of year. You had to wrap up school with your kids and you moved and now you're getting ready for school. That's going to come in just another month, which means no matter if you moved or not, if you're a parent, a lot of you are going to experience some change sending your kids into a new season of life next month. Some of you have kids that will go into kindergarten for the very first time, and man, that makes you nervous as a parent. You know? Some of you will launch a teenager into junior high for the first time. I don't want to say good luck to you, okay? Some of you will launch a child into high school, many of you into the wild world of college. A lot of you will send a child out of state for the very first time. And for some of you, that means that for the very first time as a couple, you'll have an empty nest. Now, for some of you, that scares you to death. You're thinking, what are we going to do all day long? Just look in each other's eyes? Like, what are we going to do? Others of you are like, are you kidding me? I'm so pumped. Free at last, free at last. Thank God Almighty, free at last. I've been waiting to kick those suckers out. I mean, there's claps going on, and some of you kids are sitting next to your parents going, you don't think that, do you? They're going like, yes, we want you out. You know, go. But there's just, I mean, think about the amount of change that's going to bring. more than you probably realize. Many of you are getting ready to start a new job, or you're looking for a job. You know, summer is all about weddings, and many of you just got married, or you know someone that just got married. Many of you just had a child for the very first time, and my goodness, that changes everything. Some of you just got a pet. I don't know why you got a pet, you know, and so some of you got a cat. Why did you get a cat? You're a cat lover. I'm sure God loves cats. I could just pass, okay? But when you think about change, one of the difficult things to think about is this. Some changes we choose, and some changes we see coming. But come on, aren't the toughest changes the ones that you didn't choose and you didn't see coming? I mean, you didn't choose that diagnosis. You didn't choose that illness. You didn't choose that loved one to pass away when they did. You would have never chosen that. You didn't choose for that relationship or that friendship to go sour. And you thought your marriage was good. I mean, you at least thought your marriage was good enough, and then something happened that everything changed. And you didn't see it coming, and you wouldn't even have chosen it. I mean, you didn't know your company was going to downsize or reorg, or your position was going to change the way it did, or your position was even going to be eliminated. And so you didn't even get to choose the move. You didn't even get to choose where you were going to go. Isn't it true that the toughest changes fall in those categories? You know, I was thinking about my own life this past week, thinking, you know, in my life, the toughest changes I've gone through are ones that I didn't choose and I didn't see coming. I remember being in high school, my dad losing his job, all of a sudden it changed. I mean, it threw our family into a frenzy. I remember 4th of July, 1986, my cousin, you know, young teenager, drowns all of a sudden in a lake. It changes everything. But the thing that kept coming to my mind as I thought about my own personal life was, there's one change that just caught me off guard, and it just kept going in my mind over and over again this past week. It was right after Jamie and I were first married, and we had our whole life planned out, because that's what you do when you first get married. You plan everything. I mean, 5 years out, we were going to have children. And then right after we've been married just a year or two, I remember exactly where I was at. I was sitting on a blue couch. There were red pillows. I was minding my own business. And Jamie walks downstairs with the pregnancy test, and there's two lines. And there were no tears of joy. There were two freaked out young married people looking at each other going, how could this happen? Now, we knew how it happened, but it wasn't supposed to happen. We kids were so far out, and we were protected. And then all of a sudden, ready or not, change. I wonder what change you're going through. I wonder if you chose it. And I wonder what God wants to do through it. No matter what it is, whether you chose it or not, I believe God is going to speak into your life in the next few weeks about change. And so what I'm going to do for the next few weeks is I want to open up Scripture, and I want to look at just some big ideas that we can pull out of Scripture when it comes to change. And we're going to look at a few individuals who went through extraordinary amounts of change in Scripture. And so today, as we open up Scripture, I'm just going to give you the big idea first, and then we'll kind of peel the onion back on it. But I just want you to have the big idea first. So if you're taking notes, here's the big idea today. You're never more teachable than in the midst of a transition. You are never more teachable than when you're going through transition or change. Now, if that's true, and I believe it is, think about how important that statement is. I mean, all of us want to get better. All of us want to grow. We want to be better husbands, better dads, better students, you know, better, you know, in our work. We want to be better with our finances. We want to be a better follower of Jesus. Mom, you know, we want to get better. The problem is, if we got honest, is we're oftentimes not that teachable. We're not. A lot of times, and I'll project this on myself, we walk around as if we kind of have it all figured out. Let me give you an example. For the last few months, because I was on a plane so much, it was so interesting. Every single time you get on an airplane, what is the one thing the flight attendants spend more time trying to teach you than anything else? What to do in the event of an emergency. I mean, they spend all sorts of time, you know, just pumping this information into you, even sometimes creatively. And they want you to know what to do with the oxygen mask. They want you to know where your flotation device is or where your life vest is and how to blow it up. I mean, they go through everything. Now, we're in church. So honest answer, how many of you, raise your hand, listen intently through that whole spiel? Just raise your hand right now. You listen every single time. If you raise your hand, you've either been on one flight, right? Or you're lying. Or you're like the best person I've ever known. You know, no, you do what I do, right? I sit there. I never listen. I'm doing what you do. I'm sending some last-minute texts or emails or scrolling through my phone. And we think because, we already know. No, you don't. And I don't. I mean, if you had 10 seconds and the plane was going to hit the water, and in 10 seconds you had to find and put on your life jacket, could you do it? Probably not. Now let's switch the situation. Let's say the plane's in the air, and all of a sudden something changes. There's a change in cabin pressure, and it starts going down. And the flight attendant gets up and starts giving you the exact same instructions again. Do you think you would all of a sudden be teachable? You'd be the most teachable person on the planet. Why? Because you are never more teachable than in the midst of a transition. I'll give you another example. All of us know we should pray. If you're going through incredible change, does anyone have to tell you to pray? You're like, my whole day's prayer. I mean, I'm praying all the time. Because we become teachable in the midst of transition. Now, that means that oftentimes, here's what happens. God oftentimes does his greatest work in our life in the midst of change. Some of you came to Christ in the midst of a big change. Some of you grew in your faith the most in the midst of a change. Some of you are sitting in church today, and you said you'd never go to church, and the only reason you're in church is because you're in the midst of a change. I was searching Scripture, and I was just thinking about every hero I know in Scripture. There's not one I could think of that God didn't use a time of change to grow them and teach them. Not one. I mean, Abraham, David, Moses, you know, Noah, every disciple, you know, Joseph. I mean, you just go through the list. And today, what I want to do is I just want to peek into one person's life in Scripture and one of the biggest changes he went through in his entire life and see what we can learn, and it's the Apostle Paul. Now, throughout the message, you may hear me use the word Saul. It's in Scripture as Saul. It's Saul, Paul. If you're not familiar with Paul, his name was Saul, and when he found Christ, his name changed to Paul. So Saul or Paul, it's the same person. But if you're not familiar with him, Paul, the Apostle Paul, wrote almost half of our New Testament. He planted more churches and did more to spread the gospel after Jesus than anyone in history. And yet he went through arguably some of the most rapid amounts of change as anyone that we know of in Scripture. And so I just want to look at one episode of change he went through. I think it was one of the biggest in his life and see what we can learn. And the time that Paul went through this change is a time where he was not a follower of Jesus. As a matter of fact, he wasn't just not a follower of Jesus. He hated Christians. If you don't like Christians, I mean, you love Paul. He's like your best buddy. But listen to what happened in Paul's life starting in Acts chapter 9. We'll be Acts chapter 9, and if you want to put a marker in your Bible in Romans 8, I want you to be ready because we're going to turn there later in the message. Acts chapter 9, starting in verse 1, says this, though. Meanwhile, what do you mean meanwhile? Well, meanwhile, the church is exploding after Jesus dies and raises again. I mean, it's going from Jerusalem to all these cities in north and east. It's just going everywhere. But meanwhile, Saul was still breathing murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. Paul didn't just not like Christians, he wanted to murder them. So listen to what he did next. He went to the high priest and he asked for some letters. This was almost like a permission slip, okay? He got from the leaders of that time some letters to the synagogue in Damascus, because that's where the gospel was spreading, north in Damascus, so that if he went to Damascus and he found any there who belonged to the way, any Christians, whether men or women, he might take them to prison in Jerusalem. He's gonna go arrest them and try to kill them. Now, if you were gonna rank on a scale of 0 to 10 how open and teachable Paul is at this moment in his life to God's voice in his life, where would it be, 0 to 10? He's a 0. I heard a -5 in the audience. You know, I mean, it's like he's nothing. Have you ever been there? You ever had a time in your life where you were not teachable? What does it normally take to get your attention and to get you out of that period? Oftentimes, It's change. And that's what happens in Paul's life. Listen to what happened next in Paul's life. Starting in chapter 9, verse 3, it says this. As he's Saul at this time near Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. I wish I'd have been there, but we don't even know what it was like, but a light flashed so intently, so brightly on him that he fell to his knees. That's what scripture tells us. And when he got up, listen to what happened. It says, he got up from the ground, and when he opened his eyes, he could see what? Nothing. Now, this is really ironic to me because here's a man that's so, he has his blinders on to God, and all of a sudden he becomes blind. You know what allowed Paul to finally see God working in his life, finally see God's voice and listen? This is so ironic to me. I put it this way. Paul only began to see God clearly when he lost his sight. Now, don't miss the point. The point is a massive change happened in Paul's life, and all of a sudden, he began to become teachable. That's the point. Now, when it comes to change, sometimes we like to only focus on one question, why? Why is this happening? God, did you do this? Did you allow it? Is part of it my fault? We just ask why all the time. And by the way, that's not a bad question. We talk about that around here all the time. It's just not the best question. See, why keeps you away from the best question, which is what? Specifically, this question, if you want to write it down. God, what are you trying to teach me? If I'm most teachable in the midst of transition, whatever change you're going through, whether you chose it or not, you need to ask this question, God, what are you trying to teach me? And Paul began to ask this question for the very first time in his life. Isn't that what you want to know? Don't you want to know what God's trying to teach you in the midst of whatever you're going through? Well, let me show you how God taught Paul what he wanted to show him. And it's so different than we think, because here's our natural inclination when we're going through change. Our natural inclination in change is to isolate ourselves from everybody else and just say, God, just tell me. I'm going to lock myself in a room and just tell me. And I think that's almost what Paul did. Listen to what Paul did right after he became blind. It says, for 3 days he was blind and he didn't eat or drink anything. Now, it doesn't say this exactly, but in my mind, what Paul does is he locks himself in a room and he says, I don't want any food, just everyone stay away from me. I just want to figure out what God's trying to tell me. And is that the environment that God spoke to Paul? No. You want to know how God spoke to Paul? He began to surround Paul with other followers of Jesus. Listen to what he did. He brought a man first named Ananias. It says this in Acts 9:17. Then Ananias went to the house where Paul was at. He entered it, placing his hands on Saul. He said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit. And listen to what happens next. Immediately, something like scales fell from Saul's eyes and he could see again. Not just physically, spiritually. Because it says, then he got up and he was baptized right then and there. For the very first time, he became teachable. But it took God bringing other people and surrounding Paul with followers of Jesus. And you know what Paul did next after this? He actually travels down to Jerusalem and he begins meeting with the disciples. You know what Paul did? He joined a neighborhood group. I'm dead serious. That's exactly what he did. And some of you fought that for so long. You fought it. And God's gonna tell you right now, that's the missing piece for you growing in your faith. You see, especially if you're in the midst of change, your natural tendency is to isolate yourself. And I see this all the time. I see people going through marital troubles. And instead of surrounding themselves with other married couples that can help them, they isolate themselves. Or someone who just went through a divorce. I see people do this all the time. You go through a divorce and you isolate yourself from a community that wants to come alongside you. I see people getting older in life and sometimes approaching retirement and they're just like, I got it figured out, and they've been isolating themselves. I see college students go off to college and they isolate themselves from a church community that have been around them the whole time. And it's the worst mistake you can make, especially in the midst of change. So what's it gonna take? What's it gonna take for you to begin to move from isolating yourself to begin inviting more people in your life. And that's why here at CCV, we push and we encourage you to be in a neighborhood group, which is just a small group of people that meets during the week. We encourage that so much because that's where you can find true community at CCV. But listen to what happened next, the moment Paul embraced this community of other people and he surrounds himself with them. Listen to what happens next, Acts 9:22. Yet Saul, say it out loud, grew. He grew more and more powerful. Isn't that what you want? Don't you want to grow in the midst of your change? If you do, I want to give you three truths about growth and change that I think will really help you today. These are in your notes. Number one, God never wants you to stop growing. Now, that sounds obvious, but I want you to just think about this for a moment. God never will ever take you to a place where he's like, eh, you're good. Ever. Listen to what Paul says when he writes in Philippians 1:6. He says this. He says, being confident of this, I'm so confident of something. What is it, Paul? That he, God, who began a good work in you, God who's been shaping you and forming you and making you into who he wants you to be, well, carried on to completion. Oh, Paul, when is it complete? When is that good work done? When do I have to stop growing? Well, it's gonna be complete on the day of, well, the day that you graduate from college. You're good. No, we know that's dumb. Okay, how about this? The day that you get to the top of the org chart. Surely when you get to the top, now you know everything. You're just gonna help other people. You don't need to stop growing yourself. How about this? The day that you retire. Well, when you're retired, you don't have to stop. I mean, you know it all by now, right? No, listen to what Paul says. He who began a good work in you is going to continue doing that until the day of Christ Jesus. This is what the passage says. In other words, think about this. God will never stop growing you until the day you die or Jesus comes back. That's when you're done growing. So that's number one. God never wants you to stop growing. Here's number two. You grow most in the midst of change. Why? That's what we've been talking about. If you're most teachable in the midst of transition, we have to realize you're gonna grow most in the midst of change, which means, number three, therefore your growth depends on your ability to embrace change. Now that's a hard statement because I want you to think back to the beginning of the message. How many of us raised our hands that we love change? I didn't. And yet, your growth depends on your ability to embrace change, whatever you're going through. And I was thinking about my own life this past week, and it was so obvious to me. The greatest seasons of growth I've had have all been seasons of change. Some of the seasons I did not want. Some of them I actually chose, I wanted. I mean, I was thinking about my marriage. I wanted that change. I wanted that. And yet I had no idea how God would use that to grow me. Whew. I could give you hundreds of examples. Let me just give you one. Before I got married, if you would have asked me, Ashley, do you consider yourself a selfish person? I would have said, no way. If you ever want to know if you're selfish or selfless, just get married. I don't know any environment that begins to strip away the selfishness inside you than the environment of marriage. And as Jamie and I started off, you know, man, what a bumpy road. Whew. And finances and intimacy, and man, just so many different things in our life. I began to see, wow, I'm pretty selfish. And how amazing for God to be able to strip some of that away. Because isn't being a follower of Jesus all about becoming selfless? Whew. So God has used my marriage to grow me maybe more than any other environment of change. And here's what some of you are thinking. Yeah, but I know marriages, even mine, where those changes didn't help me. The question is, how teachable are you? Not how much are you going to teach the other person. How teachable are you? And listen, this isn't a guilt trip because, listen, some of you have had failed marriages. I understand that. But didn't God teach you even in the midst of that? He's grown you. He's shown you more. It doesn't matter what change you're going through, whether you chose it or not, God can use it to grow you if you'll let him. 20 years later, after Paul had this massive change, and his name's even changed from Saul to Paul, he finds Jesus. 20 years later, he's been through more change than I would guarantee anyone on any of our campuses. I mean, he's been shipwrecked, he's been beaten, he's been stoned, he's had to escape for his life. I mean, he's run, now he's in prison. 20 years later, he's reflecting on his life and all the changes that he's been through. And I want to read you something that Paul says, reflecting on his life. In Romans 8:28, he says this. And we know that in what? Say it out loud. All things. Say it louder. All things. And we know that in all things. What are you talking about, Paul? All things. All changes? You're saying the change I'm going through right now that I didn't choose and I didn't want? I mean, how could anything good come from this? No, Paul says, we know that in all things, what do you know in all things, Paul? We know that in all things, God works for what? The good. God can work good in any change you're going through. If you'll let him, listen to the rest of the verse, of those who love him, who want to be with him and embrace him, who've been called according to his purpose. Do you believe that God can do good in the midst of the changes you're going through right now? And the answer to that question will depend on how much you trust God, how much you believe that he's still in control. Remember that crazy change, you know, that happened with Jamie and I? She walks downstairs, there's two lines, everything changed. Well, for the next 9 months, you know, it's pretty easy on Jamie. I went through, I mean, it was tough on me for the next 9 months, you know. But I'll never forget when Jamie went into labor. And when we rush into the hospital room and for the, I mean, this is an environment of change. I mean, there's monitors hooked up everywhere, there's tubes going everywhere. I mean, it's just, there's beeping going on. I mean, it's just chaotic. And I just remember being there and I'm freaking out. I'm freaking out. I just want everything to go okay. And I'm at this side of the bed is where Jamie's at. And I'm just sitting there. I'm holding her hand. And we're just praying. I'm just like, God, please. And I'm looking at the nurses. I'm like, crank the epidural up. Crank it up to like 12. When we got elect. And we were just, it was so chaotic. I can't even tell you how chaotic this environment was. It's change. And literally at the 11th hour, it's like 10 minutes before the delivery, in walks in our doctor, Dr. Goodman. I mean, he's like, whistle while you work. I mean, he's like, he's talking to the nurses about, you know, what's going on in their vacation plans, weather. Here's us on this side. I'm going like, no. Hey, can we take it seriously here? This is like a lot of change going on. Hey, take it more serious, buddy. How could he sit there? How could he do that? Listen. Because he's the master at that change. The master. He's seen it thousands of times. He does it twice a day, sometimes three times a day. So while I'm freaking out, the master has everything in his hands. And what you need to understand about your change is that no matter what you're going through, there's a God who's seen it. He's with you. And he's in control. So if you want to be able to trust that God's in control, let me ask you three questions to just close our service out. These are three questions that I think will make a huge difference if you'll answer them personally in your life. And here's number one. What change do I need to embrace? What change are you fighting? Now listen, you can try to change it, but if you can't change it, at some point you have to say, okay, I got to figure out what I need to embrace. And then you ask the second question, which is, what's God teaching me through this? God, what are you trying to teach me? I'm going to stop paying attention to all the chaos, and I'm going to stop asking all the dumb why questions. I mean, I just want to ask God, what do you want to teach me? And here's number three, and it's maybe the most important. Who's helping me walk through this? Remember, you cannot isolate yourself and expect God to teach you what he wants to teach you. Your answer to number two is dictated by your answer to number three. And here's what I believe. If your answer to these three questions 20 years from now will determine whether the season you're in right now is a season of extreme regret that you look back on or a season of extreme growth. And I pray that God would grow you in the midst of this season of change, because you're never more teachable than when you're in the midst of transition. Let's pray. Father, you're so good. And I know that's hard for some of us to trust right now, because we're in a season of change that we did not choose. Or it's bringing so much stress. Here's what we wonder. God, how could you bring any good? And yet we know this promise from Romans 8:28 that in all things, yeah, whatever that change that's in your mind right now, whatever that change that has your heart sinking, in all things, God can use it for good, but you have to let him. And you may not see it until down the road, but right now the one question you need to be asking is, God, what are you trying to teach me? And who am I surrounding myself with? Am I in community so you can speak into my life? And Father, I pray you speak into people's lives this weekend. I pray you do a mighty work across all of our campuses as we begin to trust you more and we begin to see change, not so negatively, but see it as bringing about some positive changes that you can do even in the midst of the hardest changes. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hey, before you leave, let me just say one thing. There's some of you right now that you need to be leading a neighborhood group. You need to be leading a small group of people, helping people deal with even some of their changes. And people's ability of dealing with change is gonna be dictated whether you step up and start leading. And so I wanna challenge a group of people here that if you know that's you, after the service, would you stop by our info center or new to CCV area on every campus, and we'll have some pastors there that have badges on. You'll see the badge and picture, and if you'll just talk to them, they will help plug you in and tell you how you can begin to explore leading an actual group. And I think it may be one of the most rewarding experiences of your life. So I wanna challenge you, if you feel that you, to do that. But next weekend, I'm gonna continue this series, and I'm gonna tell you one of the most surprising things that you'll ever be able to know about going through change. It's really gonna surprise you, but I'm not gonna tell you what it is until next week, so I'll see you then. Bring someone with you. What an incredible series to invite somebody. We'll see you next weekend. Have a great one, everybody. See ya.